Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Man says, I love this.
Yeah.
We love this. A chance to be back with you once again. Donovan Bailey running things. Jason Portwando alongside a brethren, DB. Wagwan.
Another day, man. Another day. It's winter again, but it's another day.
Yeah, we're going backwards. Benjamin Button with the weather, apparently. It is quite frigid outside. But hey, doesn't matter what the weather is like. We got you for the next half an hour or so. And man, a lot has happened since the last time we conversed.
Yeah, it always seems though. Well, you know what, Jason? It is early season.
Man.
It is the Olympic year. So there's exciting activities every week, every day, somewhere on the planet.
April 20th, 2024, we had some craziness happen on the track and field scene. How crazy are things right now? Do you realize the world leading times for the men and women respectively are not names that you'd be expecting? On the guy's side, do you know who it is? Christian Miller. He's a recruit. He's 17.
Oh, yes.
993. 17, he's a Georgia recruit. That's the fastest on the guy's side. On the lady's side, you have Jacius Sears running a 10.77.
Well, two things.
She's out of Tennessee, by the way. She's 22.
Yeah, Christian is a surprise. I mean, he's young and it's always good. I mean, track and field, as we know, you'll have those special days when you're going to have that, you know, it's the right condition, blocks, weather, all of those things, man. And clearly, you know, 9.93 is a spectacular time for a kid who's going to go play football. Clearly he's got a future in track and field. So, good luck to him. Jacius is legit. Absolutely legit. She did well NC indoors. And so that's not a surprise. That's not a surprise at all. I mean, and again, I'm going to say it's early in the professional track season. She's probably just getting in shape because it's mid season for her because she has NCAAs coming up, and that is going to be spectacular. The race between her and Liston is going to be great at NCAAs. But yeah, I'm not surprised, Jason. It is the major championship year. So anytime there's the Olympic Games, you're going to have lots of people. And then every single athlete essentially every weekend, every single athlete is going to, you're seeing exactly what they put on the board. So yes, there's going to be some surprises. There's going to be some names. And also there's going to be, some of the old veterans that you're essentially monitoring how fast they are. And although it's early in the season.
Man, all I know is of right now, we have a 17-year-old on the guy's side leading the world at 9.93 and a 22-year-old on the lady's side.
Well, neither's going to last.
Just at any point in time, they're running faster than the pros. That's
for now.
That's crazy. For now. Anyways, let's get to our race of the week brought to you by Biopods. And man, oh man, this is what happened recently, Diamond League-wise, in Chamonix.
Twitch in the block there from Blake, I think, but Fred Curley rises fast. Coleman getting his leg turnover better here in the second half of the race. Coleman fighting hard for the finish line. What a run from the world indoor champion straight back to being first outdoors. 10.13 for Coleman.
Did I mention April 20th? Because yes, that was the date of that race. And okay, the time wasn't, fascinating. but right. it's the way he did it because Coleman usually has the early lead, but Curley actually the first 30 was in front of him.
It's outdoors, dude. It's outdoors, and typically Christian Coleman's strength is the first 30, the first 50 meters is usually, I mean, in his greatest races, when he executes properly, he is usually out front.
Exactly.
At that time.
Yeah.
But it's early. And I'm very certain Christian won coming off the World Indoor Championships, which he won expectedly, of course. And then he probably...
Expectedly?
Of course. Well, I expected him to win, of course. Okay. Christian did, right. I'm just saying to you, indoors.
Okay.
And then of course, he went back into base training because that's usually what you do. It's almost like you're coming off outdoors and then, of course, you're going to do some speed endurance training. So how I saw the race, I mean, first of all, 10-13, was there a headwind?
No.
I think there wasn't a headwind? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because now it's really about gathering points and it's really not about breaking world records. None of that stuff really matters at this time. But yeah, Christian coming off indoors, going back to some base training where he's doing some speed endurance work. It's clear that he's not going to be sharp for the first 30 or 40 or 50 meters. But Christian's going to be a force to be reckoned with outdoor, and Fred Curley, both their fastest times 9.7, 9.76, I think. So I expect that this battle is going to continue all season. And you can see the difference, obviously, in execution at this point, but everyone is going to get sharp.
Would you agree with this statement? If Coleman can run that type of race, that type of styled race, he could be dangerous this year.
Well, my answer is no. Because I think that Coleman's greatest race is to get out and, I mean, I'm just saying to you, if you're running 6.3 indoors,
right,
and you can, you know, I mean, I know Bing Tang Su ran 6.21, I think, but I mean, that's something that Coleman could repeat. But if he's that far ahead, I think him executing like that and then sustaining speed after 60, 70 meters, he'll be dangerous no matter what. But I think his greatest race is obviously to execute over the first 50 meters.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and Fred, and you notice this. I think, Jason, in our last episode, I spoke to you about Noah Lyles and what he was doing. What Fred Curley's doing is obviously working on his first 30 meters and executing maybe 10 or so meters ahead of where he used to execute last year. So yes, it's going to be interesting. And when I look at the race, I think both of them are really kind of tinkering. They're in their toolbox, tinkering with their races and figuring out where they're executing and hitting top speed.
I was impressed, and for me, if he can add that to his repertoire, kind of stalking and closing rather than just being all-out speed, I think
speed endurance.
Coleman.
No, Coleman, when he's been running deuces,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So he's gonna. That guy said he went back to base. After indoors, you have to go back to some sort of base training or some sort of speed endurance training. I know what I did, but I mean, I don't know what exactly what his coach is, what exactly it is, but that's usually what happens. But yeah, they're both. Right now is the time to tinker with the toolbox, tinker with your race, and see exactly how it is that you're gonna this all gonna play out. I mean, and what's great for us for the fans of the world is that you get to see this play out in real life. The great thing about it is that you can go out and execute in a Diamond League race or in a league race, anyways, and you can see these guys work on their craft, perfecting their craft.
Coleman has a little something for Xiamen. I'm pretty sure last year the race was in September, and Coleman also won that in terms of the Diamond League. So to be continued. We're just scratching the surface here because we're going to go from China and now to Nairobi. And my goodness, what a race between a couple of young studs, if you will.
Right.
I mean, Letsile Tobogo and Courtney Lindsay. Now, Courtney Lindsay, if you don't recognize the name, he just turned pro. Was a collegiate runner last year.
Yeah.
Training partner with Kenny Bednarek. Kenny. And 19.71 for both of them. You could barely split them.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, think about it. I, you know, for the track heads, we all know that, you know, you, what you do, you watch the NCAAs or you watch juniors and see these kids come up, right? Courtney is not a surprise to me and definitely not to you or to the track heads. It might be a surprise for the average track fan out there. But, you know, again, we talk about tinkering. Courtney is in race form right now. You know, running 1971 into a 1.5 headwind. This is a 19.5 race. So these guys, both of these guys are in championship form today. You know, I mean, and speaking of tinkering, Courtney left Les Steel Tobogo out of the blocks, you know, and flew off the curve, right? But you saw Tobogo, man. I mean, I'm telling you, this kid, I told you, Jason, this is my guy to watch.
Yep.
Tobogo has the speed and the ability. I've been saying this for a couple of years now, but I'm saying it's coming to fruition. He has the speed, the talent, and the confidence, it looks like, to double in Paris, to win the one and to win the two. He also ran 44. Didn't he ran 44 in the quarter? Which is amazing, you know. So, but I'm saying, watching the race, Courtney was gone. The 200 meters, it was over at the coming off the curve.
I thought Tobogo won.
But I'm just saying to you that the patience that this young cat, is exhibiting is fantastic. Came off the curve. He was probably a meter and a half, 2 meters down, but patiently. He didn't panic. Patiently, you saw every stride that he took. He inched closer. I mean, if that race, you know, went on for another meter, Tobogo would have won. But I love what I see. And again, it's still early in the season.
Right.
Again, 1971 is absolutely spectacular.
It was a great year, by the way.
In April.
Great year. Great year, by the way. What's that? 1971.
Whatever, guy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know where the hell that came from. But
well, yeah. That's the time of the race, right?
Yeah.
So just kind of.
Yeah, whatever, dude. Okay. But I'm saying to you that 1971 will be fast in April. Mm-hmm. It will be fast in July. And it'll be fast in September. I'm just saying to you that's a spectacular time to run, man. And good on them. And again, we're seeing mid-season form from Courtney, which is expected. He's the guy trying to establish himself. That U.S. men's team is looking hot, you know, and you know, that's real good. Did we talk about the 100 meters?
No, we're talking about that right now.
Oh, sorry.
You're just reading my mind. But yeah, I mean, upside. Who's got more upside? Lindsay, Tobogo.
Oh, God. Well, first of all, they're both young.
You're right.
They're both young, but I mean, obviously.
Pick one.
Well, I'm going to say Tobogo because
100%.
But I'm going to say Tobogo because he's been at this for a while. The times as he's dropped, he's gone. This guy, he's also a world championship medalist. I mean, he's been on the podium already. He's been world junior record holder. I mean, dude, man, yeah. And he's young. He's big and strong and young. And I hope that people don't see this as me criticizing him, because I was the same way when I said, last season, I said, man, Tobogo doesn't look like he's even seen the weight room. And I'm saying to you, this is not a criticism.
Right.
This is something that I personally went through myself. And when I hit the weight room and when I understood those things, my race even became greater. And so Tobogo is in that same place where you know, yeah, he's definitely doing a lot of work on the track, but he's going to hit the weight room. And man, there is so much that this kid has. There's so much talent. So I'm looking forward to, you know, a spectacular future. Hey, listen, Courtney's no slouch either. And also, he's fearless. So it's going to be interesting.
The future of track and field. You know, you have a lot of sports right now that are, you know, doing really well, but they're worried about the future. I don't get that feeling with track and field.
No.
Men and women.
Every year,
both
though.
Both sides. Talent just keeps coming. All right, you spoke of the 100, so we're going to keep it right here in Africa at the Kipkino Classic. Ferdinand Omanyala, before the race, he said basically, quote unquote, I'm not going to say basically, here's what he did say, quote unquote, talking about how Africans like to take care of their lands.
Right.
Then he went out there and, I don't want to say laid an egg, but wasn't very impressive. Kenny Bednarik won the race and afterwards said, I just bought land in Kenya. So, you know, so even though we are early in the season, these guys are in fine form already when it comes to the mental aspect, the verbal aspect of the game.
This is okay.
Oh, geez.
Track and field is made, well, especially the sprints, it's made for personalities. It's made for non-offensive chirping. I think that was great. I'm saying to you that, I think Ferdinand Amanyala is one of the best sprinters on the world, and he's an African champion.
Is he maybe too big?
No. Well, I mean, I don't know. We'll see, right?
His quads is just like, my gosh.
Well, no, dude, so he's a powerful guy. But I'm going to tell you this. Watching the race, first of all, Bednarik is not a surprise. He's an extremely talented kid and another talented guy on that U.S. team. And he's going to do some damage. We already know that. I mean, he's established himself, right? There's a couple of other names in there that are not familiar to the track world. But, I have to tell you that I'm not at all upset at what Amanyala did. I'm not at all. Clearly.
The verbal jab or finishing fifth?
Finishing fifth.
Okay.
Finishing fifth. One of the things that he's done over the past few seasons is that he showed up and he's running 9.8s and 9.7s at the start of the season. Who the hell is he impressing? Nobody gives medals out in April. Nobody. So at the end of the day, I mean, I'm saying to you, you're never happy or to see people do things. I hope number one, I hope he's not hurt. But number two, I think this is a lesson for him, just understanding that the track season is long, and this is a time for him to kind of tinker with and work on things. You know, I don't know, watching his race, it's very typical of him. He didn't have as good a start as he usually does. His first drive phase wasn't as powerful as it usually is. So he might be coming off base work. You know, he might be coming off some speed endurance work, so he's not as sharp as he's supposed to be. But I'm saying to you, Bednarik, I expected him to win that or to at least be top one, top two.
I disagree.
But hold on.
You go ahead. I disagree.
Good for you to disagree. I'm telling you, expert here.
Okay, that's fine. My PhD. You are the expert. No. I disagree.
Okay, no
you
problem.
You can't go and say that I'm defending my turf. No. This is my land. No one can beat me here. And then you go and finish fifth.
Chirping is a hell.
Fifth.
Hold on. Okay. We're going to agree, and I think that's what you're saying. The chirping is spectacular. And this is exactly what... This is exactly what Amanyala is supposed to do. But I'm saying to you, as I'm looking at how this season unfold, I think that the race that he ran, he now can go back, review it, and then fix a whole lot of things. Because the problem with him is like every year he comes out and he runs way too fast at the start of the season. So I'm saying to you that him... and his team and his coaches or whatever, there had to be some sort of changes made to his training methods and his preparation, because he was running way too fast at the end of the season. And then every single time he goes to the world championships or major championships and Jason, he comes fifth. I'd rather see Amanyala run fifth last week or a couple of days ago than make it, but that's my point.
My point
is that you can lose every race all year and win the Olympics. You can lose every race all year and win the world championships. That there's only one race that matters. Clearly, you can't. You're definitely not going to come out of nowhere, and he's not going to come out of nowhere because we know of him already. But I'm saying to you that I think that we're agreeing on the same thing, which is I think the chirping is great, and this is exactly what he's supposed to say. Man, I can't believe, that you guys are coming in my house and you expect to take anything from me. And Bednarik is the perfect response. Bought some land in Africa. I think that, I think that's great on them. But I'm talking about preparation. Amanyala is clearly running well, and he's going to be just fine. But I'm saying to you that this is probably a really cool and good learning experience at this time of year for him to understand what preparation for the Olympics will be all about.
You're the expert. I disagree. But I will say this. You're right. It's early. Right. It's early, but you got to start somewhere. And to me, that was not a very good start right. for Fernand Omanyala. But you're right. If he wins the 100, are we going to remember this start at the Kipkino? No one will talk about it. Right?
Well, that's going to be that's also. I mean, here's the thing. You just said if he wins now, it's going to be that's some heavy lifting at the right. Olympics.
I mean, I'm just saying, if he, you know what I mean, if he does well. We're not going to remember this first.
Oh yeah, that's it. There'll be a couple of Africans around for sure. Right,
and he's got a chance. I think he's going off to the World Relays next. I think that's what his
in Bahamas. Yes, that'll be great. So. That'll be great for guys competing. You know, camaraderie and performing at the highest level without having the individual race. You know, angst.
Donovan Bailey running things, Jason Portwando alongside the living legend. Let's talk some ladies now. Enough with the guys. Let's talk Julian Alford, because we got a little taste last year collegiately towards the end when she was wrapping up her great career there, then a bit of a taste professionally. She's underway this year. Mount Sac Relays runs a 2.258 and just made it look so easy.
Well, Julian is expected to be one of the ladies now vying for top spot, man. I mean, this is like, wow. I mean, you know, St. Lucia is probably, you know, St. Lucia right now have everyone sitting on their hands in that little island, because Julian's going to bring it. You know, we know that, you know, the top three women from Jamaica have not opened up yet. Shikari opened up, you know, I guess we're
going to talk about that next. Yep.
But yeah, Julian, this is not a surprise for me. Her and Dina are actually training together. You know,
Dina was third in that race.
At University of Texas. So yeah. you got two of the women that you're going to hear their names a lot this season. But yeah, Julian Alfred is absolutely out I'm not going to say blood. I'll say out for gold. Out for gold this year. She's out, and I think that. As you said, Jason, her stellar college career looks like it's gonna smoothly go into the world championship. She's the indoor world champion. I mean, and indoors don't really count for much in the world of track and field. It never does. But I think it's great for her to get that first one under her belt, and you know, 22.5 at this point. Yeah, man, that's the time. That's a great season opener, and she's gonna dip under 22. We know, you know, at some point coming into Paris, because we know that, you know, there's not a whole lot. She doesn't have any pressure on her whatsoever. She doesn't. The Olympic trials of St. Lucia will be just fine. So we know that we'll see her in Paris in the final. So she's setting herself up for a great season.
Yes or no answer. These are impossible to get out of you, but I'm going to try again.
Okay.
Yes or no. Podium finish, Paris for Alfred.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, you did it! I'm so proud of you. Oh.
Yes. I knew you.
Could do it.
It'll be
okay. Okay. Wait. Enough. You answered the question.
It'll be incredibly tough, but yes, I would vote that she has all the possibilities to get on the podium.
Okay. She also won as part of the 4x1 team, and she beat a team that consisted of some other pretty good runners, including Sydney McLaughlin-Lavrone. We got a chance to see her for the first time. So we will continue to monitor that situation. So Alfred, of course, we know she's a star on the rise. Tori Lewis, Australian teenager. I mean, just another name to throw into the mix. You spoke of Shikari. This kind of reminded me of the Worlds, with Shikari being replaced by Sharika in the middle, and on the far outside where Shikari was when she won, it was Tori Lewis beating her.
Yeah, but again, it's early season, people.
Of course, I mean, it was just kind of the same kind of race, that's all.
Well, it is, and it's also the deuce. It's also the deuce. So I'm just...
Right, I'm just saying, obviously
though,
yeah.
I'm just saying to you, it's early season. Mm-hmm. Again, Shikari's coming. Shikari didn't run indoors, so I know that she's doing a lot of base stuff. I know that. Right. Yeah, it's a deuce. You know, Tori, I'm very certain. Maybe you're saying that, maybe this is what you're saying, Jason, is that Shikari didn't even see her.
Yeah. Same type of thing. Exactly.
Tori Lewis is a great young sprinter from Australia. She's got fantastic upside. She's young. I don't know what her season is going to look like. She's also coming. The Australian season, outdoor season just finished, right? So she's in great shape. The time was also just under 23 seconds. We talked about it's 22.96, I believe, right? 98?
Yes.
Okay.
22.96.
Right. We just talked about Julian Alfred running 22.58, just chilling.
Yes.
Because all those times are going to dip under 22 seconds. But good for Tori, man. I think that's awesome. Sha'Carri is not even remotely close to the form that she will be in. I mean, and again, like I said, I mean, you can see her training and observe. You know, I know how, like, Dennis coaches, Dennis Mitchell, her coach. And so I know that she's really just kind of toying with the field right now, because Sha'Carri is gonna come out and drop a bomb very soon.
It's like there's too much talent. I feel like the podium has to have like five spots now instead of three, because, I mean, we're going to throw her name into the mix.
What are you talking about?
Well, just because there's so many good runners on both the men and women's side.
So why do you want to increase the podium?
So everybody gets a little piece.
What the hell is wrong with you, man? You know, it's got to be three. There should only be one.
In horse racing, they pay out for the top five. That's all I'm
saying.
That's
because a horse has four legs.
Some of these, I swear, they do as well. Audrey LeDuc, before we wrap and head to the anchor leg. Wow. Audrey LeDuc erasing the name Bailey. So one Bailey's out of the books, another Bailey still survives.
Well, listen, first of all, this is a surprise to me. And I saw the note, and then I saw Glenroy posting it at the LSU Louisiana State gold meet. Well, this track has been very friendly to Canadians.
Okay.
Right? This was where I broke my first Canadian record. My very first meet, my very first sub 10, and I believe it's still the track record. And I love what we have here. Audrey, the Canadian women, yes, we were always in desperate need of having the championships, the Canadian record, Canadian record books replaced anyways. I mean, you never ever want to replace things, but sometimes it is what it is. But I think congratulations to her. Again, quite surprising at 10.96. And she ran really well in the finals also. So I'm looking forward to see what she's going to do. And man, you know what? For her alone, I mean, you know, her and Dwayne, I might make it down to the Canadian Olympic trials this year, because we have some great ladies that are competing. We got a new Canadian record holder, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Dwayne Asamoah just ran sub 10. So we know that Aaron, Andrew, Dwayne, I mean, you know, Jerome, there's so many. It's almost like we have, you know, a group of Canadian kids again they're going to fill the stands in Montreal for trials. So I'm probably going to make my way down there to see these kids.
Audrey LeDuc, by the way, she's 25.
Yeah.
She's out of Gatineau, Quebec, went to university at Laval.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned, the 10.96 erases the 10.98 of Angela Bailey that was set back in 87.
No relation.
87 at the Budapest Grand Prix in Hungary.
Wow, that's a long time.
That's a long, long time. So,
congratulations, yeah, man.
Natalia Hobbs won the race, by the way, in case you're wondering. But also, Canadian records were set in the hammer throw as well as the mixed race walk event. So, yeah, no, this is good stuff. This is a good moment for Canadians. And by the way, I'm going to throw one more name into the mix.
Oh, geez. Why now? Who?
Gabby. Gabby Thomas.
Oh, listen, Gabby Thomas.
That's another one. Now you see why I want to make the podium five?
Gabby Thomas. Well, yeah, but dude, it's going to be three.
I'm just saying.
You just got to bring it. Gabby Thomas. Exactly. Also, what we didn't touch on, which, I mean, Abby.
Yeah,
Steiner,
yeah,
just opened up. So I'm just saying that again.
It's early.
But it's still very early. Yes. And over the next 2 weeks, next two, 3 weeks, it'll be awesome.
Gabby can do the one. Gabby can do the two. Gabby can do the full lap. That's all I'm going to say. You know what time it is. Brought to you by the great Canadian sauce. Yes, TG. What is it? TGCS Co.
Yes, the great Canadian sauce company.
There we go.
The great Canadian sauce company.
Sponsoring
Check it out.
The anchor leg, which this guy still can run.
A cleaning stage with Donovan Bailey is pouring it up.
So at this point of the show, we discuss things that we haven't discussed. And I just want to get your take on some things here. And first up, We're going to talk a little golf. I try to get you out on the course, but you keep ducking me because you've got a 16 degree rule.
18.
And okay. I'm
going on the road
as we speak. So anyways, what's more impressive right now? Nelly Korda winning 5 consecutive LPGA events, tying her with Nancy Lopez from back in the day, like 78, and Annika Sorenstam from 04-05, or Scotty Scheffler's dominance on the PGA Tour. He's won 4 of 5. I think the only one he lost, he was second of the last 5 events.
The hell kind of question is that?
What's more impressive?
What's more impressive? They're both impressive because you're making...
Pick one.
Why are you making this a gender thing? Why
are you making a gender thing? They're just stating the facts.
Well, I think that they're both extremely impressive. How about that?
You can never get off the fence.
I am definitely off the fence. I am way off the fence. I'm just saying to you that they're both spectacular.
They are mentioning... Impressive. Okay, is this deserving? They're mentioning Scotty Scheffler right now in the same phrase, if you will, as a Tiger Woods.
No, that dominance hasn't happened yet, but it's clear that you know what? Mm-hmm. What I love about him is that he's in the zone. He's in the zone, and you see it every day, every week, you know, every competition, and you know, impressive what he's doing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. And by the way, I'm going quarter to win 5 in a row. That's amazing. You spoke of Sha'Carri. We should mention that she signed that deal with Sprite, I do believe.
Coca-Cola.
Oh, Coca-Cola?
Well, I mean, that they own.
Same brand. But here's what I want to get to. Caitlin Clark, she is headed to the WNBA. She signs an 8-year deal with Nike worth $28 million.
What's the question?
The question is, will she be the greatest female athlete of all time?
Well, I mean, only time will tell with that.
Yeah.
I mean, only time will tell.
I'm going to say yes. I think she's going to rewrite record books.
Well, listen, I think that, first of all, I believe that the women of the WNBA is looking forward to the rookie coming in and lighting them up. And looking forward is where real competition happens. The fact is, Caitlin Clark today is the most marketable female basketball player in the world. And she's taken full advantage of that. Go and get the bag.
Damn. That's a good point.
It is what it is, man. Go collect the bag today. I mean,
but stepping up to that next level, you're right. I'm waiting to see what that's going to be.
It's not, and they're professional women. The women of the WNBA are salivating. I mean, I'm saying to you that, again, I can remember as an individual in my sport, we always looked at the rookies coming in. And your man, and the number one thing was, I'm going to put that rookie guy in his place. And I'm very certain there is a ton of ladies out there salivating to guard Caitlin.
All right.
And
all right,
and
move over. Yes. I want a piece of that fence with you. Okay, I'm going to put that one on pause right, for now. Right. Ryan Garcia, my goodness, I haven't seen this in a while.
Yeah.
He knocked down Devin Haney, not once, not twice. 3 times in the same fight, and all of a sudden he is the super high weight, heavyweight, if you will, super lightweight, I should say, champion.
No, he didn't get the title. Remember, I'm the big track fan.
But I'm saying he handed the champ his first defeat.
His
first defeat.
Yeah, there
was nothing on the line in terms of you're right.
There was no title on the line. But here, dude, I watched the fight. I mean, and I was at an event, actually. And I'm like, okay. I'm cutting this short. I need to go home to watch the fight.
Actually say that to your peeps?
Yes, of course. I said, I got to watch the fight. See, I got to go. Wow. I said, but he shocked me because I thought that it was going to be a Devin Haney decision. That's right. What I thought it was going to, I thought it was going to be before the fight started. But this guy, because he seemed very erratic and unfocused, and it says a lot about you being a fan and you think that you're in the head of an athlete who you admire. But this kid was—he was amazing. I mean, he took the champ, he took the champion apart, knocked him down like you said 3 times,
yep.
And told him about himself, man. It was amazing to watch, and I got to tell you, Jason. I mean, you know, we have race of the week, but that's definitely, for me, that's a candidate for fight of the year already.
Wow. Knock you down in the 7th, knock you down in the 10th, knock you down in the... Just stay down. There's a great shot, by the way, where his legs, like, buckled.
Oh, yes. And there's a few of them. Yeah. There's a few of them.
All right, a couple more things. Canadian sprinter Aaron Brown says he wants Olympic finalists to be paid, not just the winner. Last show, we talked about the IOC coming out and saying $50,000 to the winner. But now Aaron Brown is saying, no, it should be for a finalist, period, not just the winner.
You know what? I could probably further agree with Aaron.
Okay.
I think that $50,000 is not enough money for the winner of the Olympics. I think it should be $500,000 or $1 million. That's what I think it should be at the highest level.
Yeah, right? $50,000 almost seems like a slap in the face.
What I think should happen is in golf or in tennis or even in NFL or NHL, I think it should start when you're named to the team, right? I think the incentive for all athletes should be that if you're named to the Canadian team to represent Canada, then immediately, I'm not talking about the carding money that you get to help training. I'm talking about on top of that, when you make the team, when you're named to the team to represent Canada, then you should be getting maybe $25,000, right? Immediately. And then as you make your way up the ladder, all the way up to the podium, there should be increments of maybe $10,000, $20,000 all the way to the podium.
All right. Well, speaking of which, podium money, Serena Williams' husband, Alexis Ohanian, the co-founder of Reddit, is putting together an all-ladies track and field event where the winner is going to get $60,000, $25,000 for second and $10,000 for third.
Hey, listen, any event... First of all, I think that's awesome. Any event that's gonna showcase the amazing talents of the world's best professional track and field athletes, I am all for. And clearly, we have some of the greatest female athletes in the history of the world. So I am all about supporting that.
Man, oh man, this is so good. Not just because it's an Olympic year, but wow, track and field, I'm telling you. I'm pretty sure we're inside 100 days now.
Good.
Until Paris. And there's just so much to cover. We could have went on for another half an hour.
Yes, but we're not.
No, we're not. A big thanks to the Great Canadian Sauce Company and BioPods for being a part of this podcast. And you, most importantly, this is why we are here, doing this for you, keeping you up to date on the world in track and field. I'm Jason Portwando. He is Donovan Bailey.
And we'll see you next time. Have a good day.
Yeah. Is this your theme, by the way?
My theme?
Yeah.
My theme.
I like this.
See you next week?
No, this music taking us out.
Oh man, this is good stuff.
All right. Man.